This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
South Dakota Senate Taxation Committee will come to order. Hopefully we'll make it through our first meeting. I would like to thank everybody who's listening on the internet, because that's getting bigger and bigger, and it's a good resource so that people can hear what's going on in the meetings for the comfort of their own living room. Or office or bathroom. I want to welcome everybody here. Thanks for showing up in the audience there. And let's see. We have a new introduction. A welcome, Senator Castleberry. Oh. I want to remind everybody to turn your cell phones off. You know, there's no big penalties here, but, you know, you just get stares and stuff like that. I think everybody's mature enough to realize don't have your cell phone bleeping and when people are trying to talk. If you are going to testify, make sure you have a badge on and make sure it's up here where we can see it. And if you have things to pass out, just give them to a page, because they're very adept at passing out papers, getting coffee, things like that. Speaking of which, where's the other page? What?
Just one.
Really? What are we, chopped liver?
When you have the best, you only need one.
Oh, that's right. She is the best. Come on up and introduce yourself and tell us where you're from and all that good stuff.
My name is Kaylin Thompson. I'm from Webster, and my future plans are to go to SDSU for business.
If you're going to testify, make sure you sign the guest register back there, and I'm going to have the secretary call the roll.
Senator Wismer?
Here.
Stalzer?
Here.
Otten?
Here.
Castleberry? Mack?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Monroe?
Here.
We have a quorum.
We're not going to approve minutes because we don't have any minutes. We haven't even had meetings for the last two times, but are there any personal privileges or announcements or anything that the committee needs to know? All right. We're going to have a brief organizational meeting. It's going to take about 30 seconds. Part of it was introducing Senator Castleberry, so that part's gone. There are some problems that we've been discussing with the new system, the new electronic system, and some of us are good at computers and some of us aren't so good at computers, and wishing that things might have been a little different. So here's what you can do. If you want paper copies of something, we're not going to make it a convention to just pass everything out in paper. It's just a lot of extra work for people. But if you want something in paper, tell me ahead of time or just tell one of these great people right here, and they'll get it for you. There are times when you'll want paper, especially for me, like with amendments that aren't generally signed, and I think with amendments, we're just going to have paper and have somebody's signature. We just won't do the amendment. We can do that because it's my committee. So I want you two to introduce yourselves, because they're the ones that do all the work in here. No kidding. We just sit and talk and act like we know what's going on.
Amanda Marsh. I work for the LRC. I am a senior research analyst.
Mona Olerking, I'm a committee secretary for this committee, Senate Education and Senate Military and Veterans Affairs.
I don't know how they do it. Is there anything else that somebody would like to discuss regarding the organization of the committee? I think we're all pretty good at this by now, except Senator Castleberry, but she'll get good at it. So now we'll proceed to our second meeting. We have the Department of Revenue. We're going to get an overview of that, and we have a highly qualified individual to fill us in. So thanks for showing up.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Appreciate the time today. My name is Jim Twilliger. I'm the Secretary for the Department of Revenue. And I don't have a big formal presentation or anything like that. I just want to talk through. A lot of you are very familiar with what we do, but Senator Castleberry, a lot of this would probably be new. So I'm going to kind of cover through the divisions that are under the Department of Revenue umbrella, introduce some of our key leadership that'll be over here working on different legislative issues. I can talk about some of the bills that we'll have in front of the legislature this year. We have 7 department bills. Talk about those very briefly. And then I'll open it up for any questions. I'll take any questions. We have a lot of expertise in the room. And, you know, if we need to follow up with additional information or additional topics, we can certainly do that at another time, or trying to get as much hashed out today as we can, if that works, Mr. Chairman.
Great.
Okay, so first of all, I wanted to introduce the Department of Revenue leadership team. Of course, I introduced myself. Our Deputy Secretary, David Wiest, is actually ill. He's been sick the last couple days, so he's not with us. But he's many of you know Mr. Wiest, and so he's one of our team members. Tony Richardson is back here. So Tony is the director of our administration division, which handles the budget, finance, procurement, communications, a lot of our education, continuous improvement type stuff that we do, and our strategic planning and project management for the department. Mike Howdyshell. Mike is our director of our legal division, and they handle routine legal counsel, our what we call our ISB unit, Internal Service Bureau, which we have, some of you may not know, but we actually have 3 certified law enforcement that handle fraud type cases, and in terms of building criminal type cases, also handle legal counsel for audits and various different issues as they come up in regards to the legal division. Doug Schinkel is the director of business tax. And so Doug, within the business tax unit, of course, administers the big taxes that you would think about, being the sales tax, the contractor's excise tax, as well as a host of other special taxes that fall under there, which would be, for example, your alcohol taxes and fees, tobacco taxes, bank franchise tax, so on and so forth. Our motor vehicle division, Rosa Yeager. Rosa is the director for the motor vehicle division. And the motor vehicle division administers the international registration plan, which deals with registering over-the-road truckers, the unified carrier registration, or UCR, as well as commercial and motor vehicle licensing and titling. We also work with the international fuel tax agreement, which deals with a fuel tax agreement with over-the-road truckers, and that's kind of a multi-state effort across the nation, and so a lot of that happens, and people are not real aware of that. In our property tax division, Leslie Coyle. Leslie's relatively new within the department, just over a year, and she is in the property tax division. Of course, the property tax division provides oversight of the county property tax systems. We assist local government by providing training, certification to the directors of equalizations and the various assessors. And we also administer some of the in lieu of property taxes, such as the telephone grocery receipts tax or the alternative taxes for such wind farms. Rachel Williams. Rachel is the director of our audit division. And the audit division, we have folks that, of course, do audits for sales tax, contractors excise tax, motor fuel taxes, and her team are looking at those and doing those on behalf of the state and on behalf of municipalities and local governments as well. Our lottery director, Norm Lingle. Norm's been with the state lottery for a long time, and under the lottery umbrella, which that includes, of course, our instant scratch tickets that many of you might be familiar with, your lotto games such as Powerball, Mega Millions, and also regulate and provide for the central system for the for video lottery in South Dakota. And under the lottery's purview, we also have a lottery commission that helps establish policy and approves major contracts for the lottery division. And then finally, Susan Christian. Susan is the executive director of the Commission on Gaming. And so the Commission on Gaming is kind of is under the Department of Revenue umbrella. They also have a five commission member organization that regulates the gaming industry essentially out in Deadwood, South Dakota. That also includes the horse racing, any parimutuel wagering that goes on. And they also assist with a lot of the Indian gaming compacts that happen between the tribes and state government. And so between myself, Deputy Secretary Wiest, and the eight division directors, there's 10 of us, over 160 years experience in state government. So a very experienced team. Anytime any of these issues come up as it relates to taxation, lottery, any type of wagering, sports betting type things, a lot of these folks will have at least some of the answers, hopefully all the answers, and we can provide those to you. A couple months ago, we routinely have leadership meetings, and I came across this quote, and I think this is really about what we as an organization, Department of Revenue, is all about. And this comes from Lyndon B. Johnson, and the quote is as follows. I don't suppose we will ever get to the point where people are pleased to pay taxes, but we owe it to them to see that the collection is done as efficiently as possible, as courteous as possible, and always honestly. And I really like that quote. I give that to you today because that's what we are about as an organization, providing fair customer service, making sure that we apply the tax laws and rules fairly across the board, and doing it as honestly as possible. And so I give that to you today, and I talk about a little bit externally what we focus on as an organization, really customer services at the forefront. We handle calls every day. We have folks that call in that forget their login to go pay their sales tax. We handle thousands and thousands of those calls on a yearly basis. Fairness, treating all businesses, individuals fairly and in a consistent manner. And then maintaining, more globally, maintaining a business-friendly environment, a low-tax environment, as we all value here in South Dakota. Internally, we focused a lot on developing our team. The Department of Revenue, I've been in this chair for about a year now, and there is an incredible group of employees that work hard on behalf of you all, on behalf of the citizens of South Dakota, and are just trying to do the right thing every day. And so we get in some sticky situations, but we try and handle it as professionally as possible and work out the best solution that we can. Another thing we focus on is being efficient. We've incorporated various different continuous improvement. We've incorporated lean in a lot of our processes to improve them, make them more efficient. And that's really helped us continue to keep up to date as we, for example, we issue about 350,000 titles a year in our motor vehicle division. And so making sure that we're doing that as efficiently as possible is really critical. Over the last year, we've had some pretty major things going on. Of course, we've the implementation of the Wayfair decision was a huge undertaking for the Department of Revenue, identifying, signing up those additional folks with sales tax licenses that don't have a physical presence in South Dakota. We also rolled out a new Department of Revenue website earlier this fall that, again, focused on serving our customers better. Our old website, it was kind of a mess, and there was all kinds of links on the homepage, and this is much more streamlined. We continue to streamline as we go along. We've also implemented a new back-end lottery system with upgraded technology. We did that in November that moved some of that functionality off of a mainframe system to the essentially the cloud. And so those are some big things that we've been working on over the next year. We're working on rolling out a new central video lottery system. And then we're also working on rewriting and improving the functionality of this SD CAR system, which is a system where we work with the counties on registering vehicles and all those good things. And so that's been a big undertaking. We hope to get that done here in the next year or so. So some of the big things that we're working on as a department. Some of the things that people don't think about, we collect more than just sales tax. We collect your motor fuel taxes. I should mention, we have an annual report, 2019 annual report. I think all of you got a copy of this, and it's a pretty valuable resource when it comes to the work you do in the Senate Tax Committee. It's got a lot of different information and statistics that I think is very valuable. But looking through that, I mean, we collect about $2.2 billion in revenue, and that gets not only distributed to the state general fund, that goes out to the state highway fund. It goes to various different local governments, counties, cities, municipalities, townships, so on and so forth. And so in addition to that, on the property tax side, we certify the levies for about $1.3 billion in property tax revenue. Now, the state does not collect $1 of property tax. That's all collected locally at the county level. But we do certify those levies. And the primary mission that we have is to make sure that we're doing it consistent, we're following the law in those instances, and that's another big function of what we do, and we do it with very few people, and so being as efficient as possible is really key there. Moving on a little bit, just covering some of the bills that we have in front of the legislative session this year. We have a total of 7 legislative bills. House Bill 1019 through 1023 inclusive, there's 5 bills. 1019 is a reference to Internal Revenue Code. It's a yearly update bill. I think one that comes every year from the Department of Revenue that updates to the most current year of code. We have 1020 that deals with the use of exemption certificates. And this is a situation where we're trying to protect our businesses in any type of audit situation where we are putting good faith standards in the use of exemption certificates. 1021 is a bill that deals with the Lottery Commission. So right now the Lottery Commission has 7 members in state law, and we're proposing to change that down to 5 members. And we've operated with about 5 members for the last year or year and a half or so, and it's worked fine. And so we felt it would be appropriate to bring a bill to change that in state law from 7 members down to 5. House Bill 1022 deals with some various provisions regarding motor vehicle, snowmobile, and boat dealer licenses. That's kind of cleanup language to clarify things. A lot of these bills, where they come from is when we look at bringing different legislation as a department, we look at what we've had challenges over the last year. How many calls are we getting in where consumers or taxpayers are confused about the statute? If we have an issue where in statute where it's unclear or confusing, we'll bring up something for you to consider to change a lot and make it a little bit more clear. And most of these bills really fit in that category to where we're trying to clean things up, make it more clear for the taxpayers of South Dakota. 1023 deals with a cease and desist orders for public auctions. We're trying to make that consistent with how dealers are treated in terms of issuing a title and getting a title through a public auction or through a dealer. And so that's pretty straightforward. And then we also have Senate Bill 14 and 15, which deal with registration requirements on motor vehicles, and then as well as how we retain motor vehicle title data. Right now in state law, it says we have to microfilm all this stuff. And so we're trying to clean that up because that's really outdated on how we store information. So a whole host of these bills are, we feel, are pretty straightforward. We don't foresee there be opposition or contentious on these items. And certainly as some of these come through this committee, we'll be visiting with you folks on all these bills and would be asking your favorable consideration on throughout the process there. Some of the issues that we deal with in the legislative session, various issues on license plates. License plates seem to be a hot topic. Interesting to know we've got about 142 or 143 different license plates in South Dakota. We also get deal with a lot of alcohol issues and alcohol regulation, which kind of resides within our business tax division. And then we also deal with various sales tax exemption bills, various property tax issues, and so on and so forth. And so, Mr. Chairman, that's kind of a overview of what we do. I'd like to turn it over to you. I'd like to, if you have questions, specific questions, or if you want more information in a certain area that that you've heard from a constituent or something that we've worked on over the last year, I'd be happy to talk more in depth about any issues that you'd like to.
Thank you, Mr. Twirliger. Looks like we have a question already. Go ahead, Senator Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You brought up boat licenses. I don't own a boat, and so I'm coming from a place of ignorance. If a person from out of state is on our waters, are they required to have a license?
Mr. Chairman, they're required to have the boat registered. It doesn't have to be registered in South Dakota. Does that answer your question?
It does. And so the answer is essentially no. It's registered, but no license, correct? Are license they paying? In other words, are they paying to use our waters?
Mr. Chairman, so when you purchase a boat and you have to go register it, like if I purchase a boat and I go register it at Hughes County, I believe the tax rate on that is pay a 3%. Basically, similar how you pay a 4% motor vehicle excise tax if you buy a vehicle, you pay a 3% for a boat. And that gets you your registration. Then you have yearly registration fees that you pay on a boat and a trailer. And then those fees would go the boat excise tax. I know that comes to the state general fund. The trailers and all that stuff get a little bit more complicated. Do you want to help, Rosa? Sometimes I have to phone a friend and ask my staff to come help me.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Rosa Yeager. I'm director of the Motor Vehicle Division.
Welcome.
I think what you're getting to is how much do boats pay to be on our waters? So that is set by Game, Fish, and Parks. They have an administrative rule that they update occasionally, and it's set by the length and the type of boat. I'm not sure if those out-of-states need to have some sort of, generally it's like a sticker that they put on the boat, on the hull of the boat, if they are required to have that, but that'd be a good question for Game, Fish, and Parks. I'm guessing that there is some sort of fee for those out-of-staters, but I'm not 100% positive, so Game, Fish, and Parks would probably be who you need to talk to.
Thank you.
Yep.
We'll follow up with GF&P and get some information for you.
Okay, and I'm not sure if you'd be prepared to answer this today, but on the Wayfair decision, New Hampshire has been doing everything that they possibly can to not have to participate in that. What's the status of that?
Any experts out there?
Mr. Chairman, right off the top, I haven't followed New Hampshire and what they're doing. We can certainly do a little bit of research and follow back up with you on that.
I'm sure my friends in the New Hampshire legislature will keep me up to date, but I didn't know if they were doing anything new this year.
Any other questions of Mr. Twirliger? Secretary.
It can't be that easy. There's got to be more questions.
There's 14,000 employees in the state. How many? What percentage of that is revenue? How many do you have?
We have about 250.
That's not very many, considering the big picture.
Yeah, we have about 250. That's laid out in our annual report. Actually, I believe it is. Well, it isn't, but it's in the budget documents. But a good chunk of those reside in business tax, audit division, you know, one of the areas that we're probably challenging the most is probably the, in the property tax area. And so we've got, how many folks do we have? Basically have 7 or 8 folks that are trying to make sure that we're doing all the right things in state laws with regards to property tax. And so that's one of the areas we're focusing on. In fact, we have a budget request that's for a new technology solution. It's for $225,000, a one-time request that would allow us to get data, property tax data, assessment data from county government to us in a electronic format. The challenge we face is there's 7 or 8 different types of softwares that are used throughout the 66 counties when it comes to the property tax assessments. And we have staff that are literally send us in a paper copy, and we're key coding data in so that we can have that data available. And so we're looking at a technology solution so we can get all that transmitted electronically, be more efficient so we can better utilize our resources go forward. So that's one of the areas that that we're challenged in.
Any other questions? Senator Wismer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a small little pet peeve, you know. I have lots of those. I've been looking on the website and trying to find a blank sales tax form, and I cannot find it. And I'm in the middle of a chat. I'm checking out your chat function. And he's pretty much confirming that, yeah, I cannot print a blank sales tax form off of your website. In my efforts to help someone become licensed or get a sales tax return filed, I really am frustrated by that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Welcome.
Mr. Chair, Doug Schinkel with the Business Tax Division. Senator Wismer, quite honestly, I was not aware that you couldn't print off a tax return, a blank sales tax or contractor's excise tax return. So that is something that we will fix. Honestly, we will make sure that is done. As far as I know they're there, we do have a new website that is good. It's just not there yet. So that is one of the issues there, but we will fix that, and that I can guarantee.
Well, I've been looking around the new website for a while, and that's the main thing I go to it for. And I get, you want to know who it is that's on your website, and you want to know everything about them, and that just is not, that doesn't work for, especially the smaller, the more part-time, the business is, it's not going to work. And you end up with a whole lot of frustrated taxpayers who feel like they're trying to comply with the laws, and you can't even find a blank form. So,
Mr. Chairman,
quit.
Senator Wismer, we would get that fixed. When we roll out a new website, and I don't know if this is a blame on the new website or not, but we will get that fixed so that you can find that. There's no reason that we shouldn't be able to print a paper copy off. Although we do highly encourage people to file electronically because it's much more efficient. It cuts down on the number of errors, and it's. But we'll get that fixed and make sure that is corrected.
Thank you, Senator Wismer.
Just one more comment. You have to keep in mind the percentage of the population that's still, even if they're functional enough on the computer to do social media, they just don't trust. There's still a percentage of the working, producing population that's not comfortable there, and we really have to keep them in mind.
thank you, Senator Wismer, for bringing that up, because we do keep that in mind. We take pride in when you call the Department of Revenue with a tax question, you're gonna talk to somebody. We have three folks that take these calls that are very experienced, and so please call us if you have an issue. A lot of times I find out somebody makes a complaint about the Department of Revenue, and I said, did you give us a call? Well, no. Give us a call. We'll work it out.
Thank you. I think Senator Kamak,
on the electronic filing, what percentage of sales tax filings are currently handled electronically?
Mr. Chair.
Good.
Doug Schenkel again, and currently we're at about 70 to 75% of our returns are filed electronically, and about 90 to 94% of our revenues are collected electronically.
Good. Are there any other questions? Comments? I'd asked Mr. Terwilliger to, rather than glaze our eyes over, which can happen, to give us the pertinent facts, important things that he thinks we should know about revenue. So hopefully you've listened carefully. Can you hold that book up again? That takes about, thank you, yeah. That takes about, you know, if you're a quick read, it'll take you probably 10 or 15 minutes to page through that. And they've got highlighted the major things that you probably should know. And it only took me about five, so, but it'll increase your knowledge by about at least double if you just page through it and look at the things, look at the numbers. A lot of that will stick. And the people here that work for, they know what they're doing. So be sure to ask any of them. Is there anything else? Or did we plan on anything else? Go ahead.
Could we have a few minutes on property tax administration and the progress that they made on the demonstration project this year?
Yeah. Go ahead. Somewhere I want everybody to understand, because there's some people here might not. Revenue, their job is to do what we say, not make policy, not decide what, you know. So want to make sure that it stays within the functions that they do rather than what, you know, policymakers. Sure. We got new taxes coming in. It's not them doing it. It's us. No attempts at taxes.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Senator Wismer, can you give me a little, can you ask a few questions so we can get this started so I know what kind of what you would like to visit about?
Well, what I remember from when we left off last year was that the department was, that there was new data that had become available regarding soil types, and that that was going to be, it was more accurate, it was going to be more useful in making valuation determinations on land. But that it takes a lot of technical expertise and computer brain power at the county level in order to be able to implement the use that new data. And so as I understood it, the department was had chosen several counties to work with to show how the data, how that new data would be implemented, and that the end result of the demonstration project would be a comparison between what the numbers, what the values, land values would be using the old data and using this new data. And I would like to know how that demonstration project proceeded and what the results of the comparisons were.
Mr. Chairman? Okay, Senator Wismer, great question. So I think you're referring to the Senate Bill 4 study. That Senate Bill 4 was a bill that came through, I believe, this committee, passed through the legislature, that authorized basically a pilot study on a whole bunch of different iterations and how different policies might affect the valuation of ag land. And so the presentation that's being handed around was a presentation that was delivered to the Ag Land Advisory Task Force last October. And so, you know, to kind of sum that up, I guess, I'd ask that you look through this. I think we looked at a host, we identified, I think, 11 counties to participate in this pilot study. And we looked at implementing a new soil table. If you'd kind of skip, this is the quick version, but if you skip to like page 25, they're numbered. You brought up the new soil table. And so implementing new soil tables, and this is essentially the tax shift, if you will, from the general county general fund levy. And so is what we really studied was what would be the implications of implementing a new soil table on page 25. So if you look in those counties, relatively small impact of implementing a new soil table. Our goal is to do that. Not all the counties are ready for that in terms of technology wise. We have counties that don't have GIS systems and different things like that out there. And so we're working towards implementing new soil tables because it does have better, more updated information in some cases. Page 26 looked at the most probable use study that I think was done by Dr. Elliott at SDSU. And that shows the tax shift from the county general fund levy of implementing such a system of that. And so that was a little bit more, you can see that the tax shifts were a little bit larger in some of the counties. For example, Meade County was over 14%, Fall County 10%, and then Tripp County almost 40%. And so going to that type of a system would have a much larger tax shift where you would have ag values that would go down and that would essentially shift to non-ag property. Slide 27 looked at going to like an actual use system to where the land would be valued based on how it is actually used. And so that, again, that was a pretty pronounced in some of the counties of the amount of tax shift. And so then the rest of the study, you know, page 29 looks at the school capital outlay for the new soil table, as well as the most probable use for capital outlay on page 30. And then the actual use system on page 31. And then there's some various other different analysis that went through later on in the presentation. So a lot of this was a big effort by our department in 2019. All the folks in the special or the property tax division spent a significant amount of time on it. I think it was probably worth the effort. It gave us a lot better idea of what we are looking at if we went to one of these various different other systems to value ag land. And I'd encourage you to look through this. And if you have more questions, we'd be happy to take more time and sit down and go through that with you. But there's quite a bit of information in here. I think this is out online on the Ag Land Advisory Task Force documents, their meeting documents from October. And so if anyone has any other comments, I think that's probably like the quick overview, but we can get down to the details on this stuff as far as you want. We can sit here and talk about property taxes for days, but most people would glaze over in a hurry. So
I don't know what it if nobody else wants to talk about it.
I chaired
Senator
that.
Kamek, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I chaired the Ag Land Tax Task Force, and the study was very in-depth, even with just a pilot. And things that we determined, like when they said that a lot, some counties weren't up to speed as far as GIS mapping goes, and it was a little bit of it surprised to me that my expectations were that the counties that don't have much revenue, I expected those to not have a GIS system, but there are some counties with significant means that doesn't have it. But in order to implement this program, you really need to have that, because you're talking about tens of thousands of entries of parcels and things like that. And with the GIS, it makes it possible. The information that we came up with during that, through that study, we weren't really able to, we never brought any legislation specifically. The one thing that was agreed to, and we didn't need legislation to do that, was to work towards implementing the new soil tables, which is going to be important, and that's going to take some time. The other things, we brought two bills out, and they're going to be incremental changes, and we've been working, the committee brought two of those forward, and we've been working with the department to make sure that we don't have any, have serious glitches in that legislation. And the property tax issue is it's so complex, because you have, I don't know how many parcels, if you break it down, a lot of times these things are broken down in 5 acre looking at 5 acre parcels to be determined, so you can do the math, or somebody can do the math for me. I don't do it in public, but you can take a look. I mean, you can figure out that there are just tens and tens of thousands of parcels that they've got to look at for soil type and things. So any change is monumental amount of work that's going to go into it. So the answer is yes. There are folks working on it.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a few comments?
Yep.
When it comes to property taxes, our goal is to follow the law. Make sure things are done consistently. Our goal would be to make sure things are done consistently across the counties. If I look back to where we were, specific on ag property before, the legislature made the change to go to a productivity-based system, you had situations where you'd go from one county to the next that had significantly different values, which really isn't the right way. And the productivity system has come a long ways to making sure we're relatively consistent in terms of valuing ag land across the state. Do we have more improvements to do? Yeah, we can do better. But for the most part, it has eliminated a lot of those inconsistencies when you just go across county lines. If you're ever out visiting with county commissioners, or if you know your director of the equalization, and we want to make sure that we're doing things right. We have conversations constantly with directors of equalization. We're happy to go out and meet with county commissioners, because when you start talking about a lot of this stuff, people glaze over in a hurry. But we want to make sure that things are done as consistently as possible and that we're following the law. And that's what we're about. So thank you.
Senator Kamak. And as far as property tax goes, commercial property has the highest rate that they pay, but you don't hear many complaints on the commercial side. I have the privilege of paying property taxes on commercial property as well as ag land. And the reason you hear so much discussion from the ag land property tax is because if you take the percent the percent that of the bottom line of a commercial property what percentage that is of taxes that is paid compared to the bottom line of a 1,000-acre ranch and the amount of revenue that's produced there. That's why there's so much discussion about that, because that percentage is you know, miles apart. You don't hear complaints on the commercial side because you've got the income and the revenue to cover that. But it becomes, on especially marginal land, it becomes a situation where in some cases the property tax is equal to 30 or 40% of the revenue on very marginal lands. So that's why you have so much discussion about this. And no, we don't have it figured out.
Mr. Chairman, okay. Just one more comment. Senator Kamak referenced the levies for general fund levies for the general school aid formula. And if you do have this on page 28, it actually lays those out. And every year when you folks decide what the funding level should be for general funding for schools, along with that, you are actually set the levy for those property tax levies, and it comes in a bill every year that you guys vote on, goes through the House, and right now those levies are at $1.47 for ag, $3.29 for owner-occupied, and $6.82 for owner-occupied. But that area is the only area where you have different levies for different classes of property, and that's we can talk about that all day long, but that is one of those bills where you actually do set those property tax levies every year during the legislative session.
Thank you. Anything else? Because a short answer to every one of these questions is then just call one of these people. They kind of know what they're doing. They've been at it for quite a while. And if you don't have their number, ask me. I probably got at least half of them. And if whatever we can find it in a second, whoever you want to talk to, but you can talk to they're you're good on all this stuff. They'll take as much time as you need. Not that they're not already busy, but that's how we can get the questions answered real quickly and answered right. Is there anything else? I see everybody's kind of, guess what motion the chair will entertain? Moved by Senator Stalzer to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Senator Smith. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.